Hello and welcome to the KMXT Weekly Wrap, where we go over this week's news from Alaska's Emerald Isle. I'm your host, Davis Hovey. On this week's recap, the Kodiak Island Borough School District's Board of Education is holding off on finalizing the upcoming school year's budget until next month, as the board gathers more information and public input.
If you want to know the philosophy of a district, you just look at their budget. And if you have a good philosophy, then increasing or decreasing the budget isn't as difficult as it sounds because you know what's important and what you have to preserve.
More about that story later. But first,
support for KMXT comes from the Kodiak Area Native Association's Substance Use Treatment Team. Talk with your kids about drugs and tobacco. No matter how young children are, talking with them is one of the best things you can do to keep them drug and tobacco free. Learn more at KodiakHealthcare.org or 907-486-7380.
On Wednesday, January 21st, the Coast Guard rescued two fishermen from a commercial fishing boat that ran aground on a small island in Passagshack Bay, south of Kodiak. No injuries were reported. According to a statement from the Coast Guard Arctic District, just after 7 a.m. Wednesday morning, the fishing vessel Quantum reported taking on water 2 miles offshore from Kodiak Island. Less than an hour and a half later, a helicopter air crew from Coast Guard Air Station Kodiak hoisted both crew members from the Quantum, who were wearing survival suits, and brought them back to town to receive emergency services. Based on a photo of the vessel shared by the Coast Guard, the Quantum was likely geared up for catching Pacific cod and was not actively fishing at the time of the incident. Currently, the Central Gulf of Alaska federal Pacific cod pot gear season is closed, and fishermen have less than a week before the state Pacific cod pot gear season in the Kodiak area opens on January 27th. The Coast Guard said in an email that the vessel started taking on water after getting stuck on rocks surrounding an island near Ugak and Passagshack Bays. The Quantum is still reported to be aground as of Thursday morning, and the agency is working with the owner, Kirik Rutov of Homer, to oversee salvage of the vessel. In other news, Alaska's congressional delegation teamed up to roll out the Bycatch Reduction and Research Act earlier this month. The proposed federal legislation would fill research gaps as well as fund and test innovative gear in an effort to reduce salmon bycatch in Alaska trawl fisheries. KMXT's Terry Haynes reports Senator Dan Sullivan said in a statement that the act would, quote, bolster our data collection, monitoring, and reporting capabilities, improve the use of electronic monitoring technologies, and rapidly advance the use of equipment that will reduce bycatch, end quote. The first thing the act would do is direct the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration to resurrect its Alaska Salmon Research Task Force and rename it the Bycatch Reduction and Research Task Force. The research part of the bill would require NOAA to consult with a wide range of salmon experts, including Alaska natives, fishing industry representatives, commercial fishermen, and subsistence users. Research would include satellite tagging as part of a high-tech effort to map out the entire marine life cycles of Alaska salmon to better understand their migrations and distributions. It would also fund a grant program to find ways to speed up onboard genetic testing to try to provide real-time on-the-ground stock identification of salmon caught as bycatch and trawl fisheries. The act also requires research on how contact with the seafloor by both pelagic and non-pelagic trawl gear impacts habitats on the bottom. And it requires construction of a flume tank, a large controlled artificial channel used to test fishing gear. It's like a wind tunnel for water. The act would also establish a flume tank assistance fund that would help entities pay for innovative devices, instruments, or gear designs to test in the flume tank. The Bycatch Reduction and Research Act received support from a broad swath of the fishing industry, including the Alaska Marine Conservation Council, Alaska Bering Sea Crabbers, and the Alaska Longline Fishermen's Association. It still must pass both the U.S. House of Representatives and the Senate before it can be enacted. This next story comes from our colleagues at Alaska Public Media. Governor Mike Dunleavy says he'll soon propose a statewide sales tax as part of his larger plan to stabilize the state's finances.
There will be a temporary seasonal sales tax concept put forth for discussion with the legislature.
Dunleavy made the comments during a cabinet meeting live streamed on his Facebook page on Wednesday, January 21st. At the meeting, the governor and the state's 15 department commissioners outlined their accomplishments over the past 7 years. Dunleavy says a fiscal plan, along with moves to advance a natural gas pipeline from the North Slope, are his top two priorities for the legislative session that began on Tuesday. Dunleavy has been tight-lipped about the specifics of his plan. The political news site, the Alaska Landmine, reported on Tuesday that the plan would include a seasonal sales tax, a limit on government spending, changes to oil taxes, and a new formula for the permanent fund dividend. Dunleavy's communications director, Jeff Turner, declined to confirm the Landmine report and says, quote, "the bills are still being finished," end quote. During the meeting, Governor Dunleavy said he planned to start rolling out his fiscal plan next week. A required 10-year plan released alongside his budget in December identified some $1.6 billion in unspecified new annual revenues starting in July of 2027. Dunleavy says he expects the plan to raise revenues pretty close to that mark.
The proposal in the fiscal plan has multiple components, and basically what it is, it's a roadmap to inject stability, especially over the next 5 years when revenue is not quite what it'll be on the years out.
Dunleavy emphasized that most of the measures he'd propose would serve as a temporary half-decade bridge. After 5 years, he expects state revenues to rebound thanks to increased oil production, growth in the permanent fund, and the possible natural gas pipeline. Lawmakers have said they'll consider Dunleavy's proposals, but it's unclear if a sales tax and the other components of Dunleavy's plan will have enough support to pass the State House and Senate. Governor Dunleavy privately told lawmakers in 2023 that he planned to introduce a sales tax, but he ultimately did not. In other news, state finances will be top of mind for Alaska lawmakers as the next legislative session began on Tuesday, January 20th. That's according to Kodiak's two state representatives who spoke with KMXT about that and their other priorities for this session. When Governor Mike Dunleavy released his proposed budget for his final year in office, he included what he calls a statutory permanent fund dividend without an accompanying sustainable state fiscal plan. Outgoing State Senate President Gary Stevens of Kodiak says that is unworkable.
The one thing we have to do down here is to create a budget. And, of course, we write the budget. The governor gave us his proposal, but we know there are things that really do not work. So we have to work hard to try to find some compromises that allows us to continue operating as a state without overdrawing our limited savings.
Dunleavy's proposal draws more than $1.5 billion out of the state's dwindling savings account. The governor plans to brief the full legislature this Thursday on his plan to raise new state revenue. Stevens says that will likely include options like a statewide seasonal sales tax.
Maybe there's some other options out there. I'm thinking of one that might be a way for those communities that already have a sales tax to have some kind of a cap that, you know, if, say, the state's sales tax were to be, you know, like 2 or 3%, we might say something like no more than 6 or 7%.
Senator Stevens has been in the legislature for 26 years and has spent 8 of those as Senate president. His counterpart in the State House, Louise Stutes of Kodiak, has her eyes set on a retirement system for state employees after the legislature eliminated Alaska's public pension program 20 years ago. Stutes says there was progress made last session when the House passed House Bill 78, but lawmakers have yet to get it over the finish line.
Been a retirement plan hammered out that isn't going to break the state, and there's just some resistance to it based on the old system, and it's really too bad, but we have got to do something in order to maintain our teachers and our public safety people and our state employees.
Stutes has more leverage than most legislators this session as tentative chair of the House Rules and House Fisheries Committees. Her chairships are subject to lawmakers' approval. Stutes is also part of the Alaska House Majority Coalition. She says some of her priorities for this session come from recommendations from the former Alaska Seafood Industry Task Force, such as a tax break for seafood processors. Stutes says funding the Alaska Marine Highway System is another priority, as it's been in previous years for her.
It's going to be a real challenge because our federal dollars are waning in that respect, and we've been using federal dollars for operating costs, but we're aware of it. I've made people here aware of it, so the state's going to have to start ponying up.
The second session of the 34th Alaska Legislature is scheduled to begin Tuesday at 1 p.m. And our final story for this week, the Kodiak Island Borough School District's Board of Education is holding off on finalizing the upcoming school year's budget until next month as the board gathers more information and public input. KMXT attended a public town hall earlier this month and reports that the school district's long-term stability is a community concern.
I want to start with something simple but essential. Without students and without teachers, we have nothing. No programs, no positions, no buildings.
Soma Chichinoff is a former Kodiak Island Borough School District employee and a parent who told school board members that the district's budget should put students first.
And if we want families to stay, to believe in this district again, then we must show them that classroom, not offices, are where our values live. I'm asking you to pause, to look carefully at where the money is going, and remember that schools are not built by titles or departments, but by people who show up every day for kids.
The school district is looking at a $4.5 million budget deficit going into next school year, but that is a moving target. Declining student enrollment, rising teacher insurance costs, and other factors are the main drivers for the budget shortfall. Larry Ledoux echoed some of Chichinoff's thoughts during an interview with KMXT. He led the district as superintendent for years and says a school district's budget reflects its priorities.
If you want to know the philosophy of a district, you just look at their budget. And if you have a good philosophy, then increasing or decreasing the budget isn't as difficult as it sounds because you know what's important and what you have to preserve.
Ledoux says making cuts are part of the budget process, but the way the school board and superintendent approach those cuts matters, especially during what he calls a crisis.
Cuts don't make the system. It's the people involved that make the system, the teachers and the parents and the kids, just as I started. If you look at the school system as just something that's been cut or pruned down to nothing, then we have a problem.
Ledoux has faced lean financial years, too, and in 2020, he was in a position similar to the one current Superintendent Cindy Mika and the school board find themselves in today. He considered shuffling students within the district's four elementary schools and combining grade levels into one school, partly due to declining enrollment. That problem has not gone away. District data shows student enrollment has dropped every year for the last decade. Today, the district has less than 2,000 students enrolled. That's down from more than 2,400 in 2016. And the district expects another 2% or more drop next year. Most education funding from the state is tied directly to student enrollment. Despite the Alaska legislature approving a $700 increase to the base student allocation last year, district officials say it's not enough to compensate for declining enrollment. Molly Keyes is a special education teacher at East Elementary who also attended the school district's town hall meeting this month. She asked the board for stability and says she's tired of having the same difficult conversations year after year.
We need people and we need a good team and we need stability over the next 5 to 10 years, heck, 3 to 6 years, next year. I don't want to be at this podium fighting for a school to close or not close again next year. I just don't want to do it. I know you guys don't want to do it.
Earlier this month, the school board appeared ready to cut programs and staff to balance the budget, but now they're leaning in another direction. This week, the board requested Mika and her team explore additional reconfiguration options to meet not only next year's budget deficit, but also the projected deficits for the following 2 years. The earliest the school board could take final action on next school year's budget is during its special meeting on February 2nd. Reporting in Kodiak, I'm Davis Hovey.
KMXT is supported in part by the Kodiak Women's Resource and Crisis Center, providing support for victims of domestic and or sexual violence. 907-486-6171.
If you enjoy this podcast, make sure to subscribe to us on Spotify. Our staff put together KMXT stories every week to help you keep up to date on the archipelago's latest news. And that's it for this week's edition of the KMXT Weekly Wrap. Again, I'm Davis Hovey. We'll be back next week, same time, same place. Thanks for tuning in.